Everybody expected to have at least a week to strut around and brag about their perfect one-loss record. Instead, the next morning at 06:30, Wigan appeared in the barracks, again brandishing battle orders. "Gentlemen, I hope you learned something yesterday, because today we're going to do it again." All were surprised, and some were angry. It wasn't fair. They weren't ready. Wigan just handed the orders to Fly Molo, who had just been heading out for breakfast. "Flash suits!" cried Fly, who clearly thought it was a cool thing to be the first army ever to fight two in a row like this. But Hot Soup, the leader of D-Tune, had another attitude. "Why didn't you tell us earlier?" "I thought you needed the shower," said Wigan. "Yesterday, Rabbit Army claimed we only won because the stink knocked them out." Everybody within earshot laughed. But Bean was not amused. He knew that the paper hadn't been there first thing when Wigan woke up. The teachers planted it late. "Didn't find the paper till you got back from the showers, right?" Wigan gave him a blank look. "Of course. I'm not as close to the floor as you." The contempt in his voice struck Bean like a blow. Only then did he realize that Wigan had taken his question as a criticism, that Wigan had been inattentive and hadn't noticed the orders. So now there was one more mark against Bean in Wigan's mental dossier. But Bean couldn't let that upset him. It's not as if Wigan didn't have him tagged as a coward. Maybe Crazy Tom told Wigan about how Bean contributed to the victory yesterday, and maybe not. It wouldn't change what Wigan had seen with his own eyes. Bean malingering in the shower. And now Bean apparently taunting him for making them all have to rush for their second battle. "Maybe I'll be made tune leader on my 30th birthday. And then only if everybody else is drowned in a boat accident." Wigan was still talking, of course, explaining how they should expect battles any time. The old rules were coming apart. "I can't pretend I like the way they're screwing around with us, but I do like one thing. That I've got an army that can handle it." As he put on his flash suit, Bean thought through the implications of what the teachers were doing. They were pushing Wigan faster and also making it harder for him. And this was only the beginning. Just the first few sprinkles of a snot storm. Why? Not because Wigan was so good he needed the testing. On the contrary, Wigan was training his army well, and the battle school would only benefit from giving him plenty of time to do it. So it had to be something outside battle school. Only one possibility, really. The bugger invaders were getting close, only a few years away. They had to get Wigan through training. Wigan. Not all of us. Just Wigan. Because if it were everybody, then everybody's schedule would be stepped up like this. Not just ours. So it's already too late for me. Wigan's the one they've chosen to rest their hopes on. Whether I'm tune leader or not will never matter. All that matters is, will Wigan be ready? If Wigan succeeds, there'll still be room for me to achieve greatness in the aftermath. The League will come apart. There'll be war among humans. Either I'll be used by the IF to help keep the peace, or maybe I can get into some army on Earth. I've got plenty of life ahead of me. Unless Wigan commands our fleet against the invading buggers and loses, then none of us has any life at all. All I can do right now is my best to help Wigan learn everything he can learn here. The trouble is, I'm not close enough to him for me to have any effect on him at all. The battle was with Petra Arcanian, commander of Phoenix Army. Petra was sharper than Karn Carby had been. She also had the advantage of hearing how Wigan worked entirely without formations and used little raiding parties to disrupt formations ahead of the main combat. Still, Dragon finished with only 3 soldiers flashed and 9 partially disabled. A crushing defeat. Bean could see that Petra didn't like it either. She probably felt like Wigan had poured it on, deliberately setting her up for humiliation. But she'd get it soon enough. Wiggins simply turned his toon leaders loose, and each of them pursued total victory as he had trained them. Their system worked better, that's all, and the old way of doing battle was doomed. Soon enough, all the other commanders would start adapting, learning from what Wiggin did. Soon enough, Dragon Army would be facing armies that were divided into five toons, not four, and that moved in a free-ranging style with a lot more discretion given to the toon leaders. The kids didn't get to battle school because they were idiots. The only reason the techniques worked a second time was because there'd only been a day since the first battle, and nobody expected to have to face Wiggin again so soon. Now they'd know that changes would have to be made fast. Bean guessed that they'd probably never see another formation. What then? Had Wiggin emptied his magazine, or would he have new tricks up his sleeve? The trouble was, innovation never resulted in victory over the long term. It was too easy for the enemy to imitate and improve on your innovations. The real test for Wiggin would be what he did when he was faced with slugfests between armies using similar tactics. And the real test for me will be seeing if I can stand it when Wiggin makes some stupid mistake and I have to sit here as an ordinary soldier and watch him do it. The third day, another battle. The fourth day, another. Victory, victory. But each time, the score was closer. Each time, Bean gained more confidence as a soldier, and became more frustrated that the most he could contribute, beyond his own good aim, was occasionally making a suggestion to Crazy Tom, or reminding him of something Bean had noticed and remembered. Bean wrote to Dymac about it, explaining how he was being underused and suggesting that he would be getting better trained by working with a worse commander, where he'd have a better chance of getting his own toon. The answer was short. Who else would want you? Learn from Ender. Brutal, but true. No doubt even Wiggin didn't really want him. Either he was forbidden to transfer any of his soldiers, or he had tried to trade Bean away and no one would take him.